So we have some husbands and wives here on the group, but you know, getting married is all about a love relationship. And I could take any one of you, but let's just take Greg and Kathy. So if you look at Greg or you look at Kathy, we'll take the fair sex first, is that you really see, in a certain way, Greg. And if you look at Greg, you see Kathy. And we could even say, and it's been said by many probably, I've thought this thought when I look at a couple sometimes that have been together for so many years, and you go, you know, they seem to look more alike all along as the years pass. How does that happen? Well, it's a mystery, but Jesus called them one flesh. Something happens. Now, this, you can even see the stamp on a person's life, and we know we have a few here, and not to single you out, but even if the person's passed into the next life, you see the stamp of that person's life upon the remaining mate. That's the impact that a love relationship has. And this is how great, this is just a small picture we know of how great our relationship is with the Lord. This is a transforming relationship. And I want to talk really about two things today about that relationship. And there are two things that are in the life of every child of God. And you would think that I'm going to talk, as you guys referenced, about the cross and the resurrection. Well, those are two. But these two are not those two that we're going to be speaking about today. But I believe we're going to, these two items of critical importance, let me put it this way right up front, to walk a successful Christian life. A lifelong relationship that's transforming. You know, God put marriage there for a reason, to be a picture of this greater relationship we have with Him. But it's something, these two things that we need from the beginning of our Christian life to the very end. And so let's turn quickly to Joshua chapter 1, and I'm just going to read verses 6 through 9. It says this: be strong and of good courage, for this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to your fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it, from the right hand or the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do according all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage? Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Now, Nancy just read something. I believe you said it was out of Isaiah, right, Nancy? And what was that? That God is with you wherever you'll go. This is a theme. It's so many places in the Old Testament, and we see it again repeated in the New Testament. This is of utmost importance that we remember this if we're going to have success in the Christian life. Because the natural life wants to take over. We forget this principle. This didn't matter if the children of God were obedient or disobedient. This was a fact that the cloud and the pillar followed them wherever they went. And it's a picture of Christ. Now we have a greater picture of Christ being with us wherever we are. Now, this is unconditional, that God is with us the moment we become His beloved. Now, I shared this on Friday, and I'm going to share it again today. My six-year-old grandson just had his birthday. And boy, was he looking forward to it. You know, that's a big deal when you're 6 years old. But my nine-year-old granddaughter wrote a card to him. And she basically said one thing. She said, "Happy birthday, Beckett." And then she said, but here's the most important thing for you to remember, is what she wrote in the card, that Jesus is with you always, even during COVID. I was stunned, you know, when she, that was her birthday card to her brother. You know, these things which the kids learn, they'll stay with them for a lifetime. But this is an important thing. It's easy to lose sight of. And what God's telling Joshua and what God tells us, in which we heard again from Nancy, from the Word of God, that God is with us always. And the second thing that is that this book of the law, the Word of God, is with us, is his dearly, we're people of the book, as it's called. But we're to meditate on it day and night. And, you know, we could say in a certain way, and in the old covenant, it certainly was, it was only something that made them, well, I can't go into these details, but it may have been death to them, but it's life to us in the new covenant. But let's just put it another way of making the point today, which I'd like to make. To be a successful Christian, to be a prosperous Christian, and we're not talking about money, but we are talking about success, and we are talking about prospering, we need the Word of God. And without it, it's like a strained relationship between a husband and a wife. It's something that's missing. There's no communication. If we go on in life in a marriage and there's no communication between a husband and wife, it's strained. And it leads to conflict and problems. But there's a universal problem that I see. And I'd like us to turn now to John. And these are the emphasis, these two verses of the of where I got here on this ministry, or hopefully where the Lord took us, is John chapter 20. You'll probably find it quicker than me. In just two verses here, and it's about the resurrection of Christ and the witness at the tomb, and this is John's words. Verses 8 and verses 9, this is John's testimony. Then the other disciple who came to the tomb first went in also, that being John, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not know the scripture. Now that's Peter, John, and all the rest, really. That he must rise again from the dead. Now these statements seem at first blush to be contradictory, but they're not. And I don't think it's any mistake that they're in this order that John put them in. They're in that order by the Holy Spirit. He had a lot of time to think about this. He wrote this many years later. He saw that from the grave clothes that Jesus was alive. But now listen what he's declaring by his own testimony. It's a confession, really, is the way I look at it. He didn't understand what the Bible declared about Jesus rising from the dead. Let that sink in just a little bit. I believe it really is a confession of John at that point and where he was in his life. Now, look, many say that all we need is a great experience. We need God to show up to change our lives. And sometimes that does happen like that with many people. I have a friend of mine who literally was on a drug trip and says Jesus showed up, told him to change his life and give his life to him. And guess what he did? He did, and he's still walking with the Lord to today. So there's a genuine conversion right there. But let's just talk about a few things quickly, and I know we have limited time, because I could go on and on about this, about what John witnessed. Well, what he witnessed and what we talked about when we started today is talking about the love relationship of a husband and wife, John knew how much he was loved by the Lord. He experienced that firsthand. He rested in his breast, as the word says, and he always called himself, we know, the disciple whom Jesus loved. And we can all say that about ourselves. Hopefully, we can all say that. If we can't, then there's something a little bit wrong with our eschatology. We got to get some things right and believe maybe some things that the Bible declares. We should all believe that we're dearly beloved of the Lord Jesus, because we are. Amen. He didn't die in vain. But he was there from the beginning. He saw Jesus turn water into wine. He saw the 70 disciples go out, and as Jesus said, he saw Satan falling like lightning from heaven. He saw Jesus walking on the water. He saw Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. He saw God speak from heaven at least two different times, maybe more. He saw him raise Lazarus to the dead, put the demoniac in his right eye, still the storm with a single word, be still. He opened the eyes of the blind. Now, this is things all that John witnessed. He witnessed the death of, he was the disciple that witnessed the death of Jesus on the cross. Thank God we had one that stayed there. He saw the blood and the water come out of the side of Christ Jesus. We need this brother, you know, in his testimony, wonderful testimony. He saw the confession of the thief of the on the cross, and that person coming to the Lord Jesus, and the Lord saying, today you'll be with me in paradise. He saw something shocking to him, I think. He saw his life, and I think this is what we can think of our lives as disciples. The Lord turns our lives upside down. He gave his mother and said, she's going to live with you. You're going to live with her. She's going to be your mom. You're going to be her son, so to speak. Unbelievable. And here's the biggest one to me. He was an eyewitness to the greatest preacher who will ever live, of course. And the word that became flesh and dwelt amongst them, as he could confess in the beginning of John. But listen to this is the point I'm trying to make by saying just a few of these great things, and there's many more. We could make a list, which is much more exhaustive than that. But his confession is, though I had seen so much, I could not hear. I was missing something that the Lord was trying to get across to me. And Jesus had told them so many different times, hadn't he, that the Son of Man must suffer and on the third day rise again. He didn't hear it. And he didn't hear the words that were proclaimed through the Old Testament about this very same fact. And how is it possible? Because they had seen so much. Well, I think it comes back to what God encouraged Joshua with. Here's two ways and things that you have to have in your life to walk a successful Christian life. And the problem is, I believe, many times, here's what I think the problem is, because I think we're all like John in a natural sense, even if we have many experiences with God. We have a malady in our lives, and it's called this. We believe what we want to believe sometimes. That's a hard confession. But we believe what we see and what we hear, not necessarily through the lens of the Word of God. We see it the opposite way many times. We see our experiences first and then the Word of God, and we wonder, what's God doing? But we need to have the order reversed. Because the sight and some even the things we experience, maybe even great miracles. I told you of an amazing success. Let me tell you of another story. My sister actually knows this person in Morro Bay, California. This person, and I forget, I couldn't look up the article again. I believe he was underwater and he was a little bit older. He was in a surfing accident in Morro Bay. They could not find him from 30 to 45 minutes. I forget the exact time. He was underwater that long. He had one of these near-death experiences. And he said he saw the Lord. He's a believer. God's with him. And he came back. Nothing happened to him. He's like as good as new. And he started preaching in churches about this great story and what God had done for him, blah, blah, blah. Well, this man left his wife and had very little testimony besides this. This became the big deal of his life, this experience that he had. But no, that's not going to lead to success. In fact, sometimes it can lead to a hindrance like it did in that brother's life. So we need to see things through the lens of the Word of God. Now let's turn to another familiar section of Scripture, and that's Luke chapter 24 and the two on the road to Emmaus. In just verse 25, chapter 24, verse 25, then he said to them, O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all the prophets have spoken. Now these, we don't know exactly who they are. We can speculate and there's much written about these two, but we won't do that right now. But listen to what it says here. O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken of. And in another place in Mark, we're not going to turn to it now, but how Mark records it, which we typically think is Peter's gospel, the first thing that he shows up and from Peter, this is what he heard anyhow, is that he rebuked their hardness of heart and that they were slow to believe. The same thing that happened right here with these. But what are we slow to believe in? Well, I believe it's the Word of God. And I believe this malady affects us naturally, not supernaturally again, but naturally, which affected the disciples, which affected these two, affects us. And that's, we tend to really naturally believe what we see instead of what we are in touch with through the Word of God. We're slow, we can be slow to believe just like them. Let's look at verse, this is when Jesus shows up. Look at verse 44 in Luke 24. Then this is when Jesus shows up again to the disciples now, not to these two. And he said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scripture. So there's fact two, is that this scripture, Jesus intends to open our understanding. That's an important principle for us to walk the success. Now, I know I'm preaching to the choir, but we need Jesus's help in this to open our understanding. We can't do it in our own strength. We can't just do it out of willpower. We need his help. And he desires in this relationship in this, to reveal himself through the Word. Now, we could say, well, of course they didn't understand the Word of God because the Holy Spirit was with them but not in them. Well, you know what? What it says in verse 45, look at this carefully. And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Let's get our ideas of what we think with what the Word of God says. They were not yet indwelt with the Holy Spirit. Now we have the advantage of that. But Jesus himself did open their understanding to the scriptures about himself and what went on. This is what's happened with God's children since the beginning of time. And it really is the only way to have a successful Christian life. Now, let me use another example. If you will humor me, it's like we have a garage, and in that garage, we have a very valuable car. In fact, it's priceless, sort of speak. And this is the word of God, but the car has got a tank full of gas and it's worth a lot of money, so we don't drive it. We just ignore it. Now, think of this, what we've just been saying. God is with us always, even to the end of the age. It says so many places throughout the Bible. But the car sort of speaks collecting dust. But we're meant to drive that car. We're meant to get in that car, immerse ourselves with that car, learn every part about that car, and drive it. And it might be slow, maybe just around the block first, and then we get out and we drive through it more. I think the best way is like Dan here said so many times, I think the best way, even though it's difficult, is to go ask the Lord to help us go all the way through the Word of God. From start to finish, it transforms us as we do this. But there's really, it's going to take, for us to have our understanding open, it's going to take humility, we know, like our brother John expressed right here, is his confession. It's going to take repentance. Because you know what? You might even say, I've read the Word of God, or I continue to read the Word of God, but I just don't understand it. Or I'm slow of heart to believe. It's way over my head. Welcome to the club of humanity in the reality of reading the Word of God. It's heavenly, it's eternal, and it takes God's revelation by the Holy Spirit to understand it. The natural man can't even understand that. And Jesus is just waiting for us to tell him that. You know, we can't understand this. We need your help, Lord Jesus. So, he is residing inside of us. He is with us always. He ever lives to intercede for us, as the Word of God says, but he ever lives to reveal himself through the Word of God. He's the Word that became flesh. This is now John can look with a different perspective, and he can proclaim all the things that he witnessed and the experiences now become part of the Word of God. Everything's through the lens of the Word of God. Now he can say right in the beginning of the book, the Word that became flesh and dwelt amongst us. We behold his glory, the glory of the only begotten from the Father. This is his proclamation. Now everything's through the Word of God. Now I see all the promises of God. Now I know this is the way I possess the land. And there's a whole different perspective. He couldn't write this gospel when he was living with the Lord. It took him getting a different life, a different perspective. Now you might be scared to death of that car, and that's why it's got too much power. That car is a muscle car, so to speak, with 1,000 horsepower. But, you know, if we get in, we get acquainted with it, we drive it, all of a sudden it becomes a Tesla, so to speak. It's self-driving. My son owns a Tesla. He's one of these Gen X or whatever you call them, millennials. And so he has a Tesla. And so one of the first things he did with me after he bought the Tesla is he took me on an on-ramp that was one of these circles, and he had it on autopilot, and he took his hands off the wheel and put his hands in the air and drove it about 50 miles an hour, and it scared me to death. As the car went all the way around in a circle and went onto the freeway by itself. He never touched the wheel. That's what God does. He carries us now. There's going to be times of refreshing that come to us as we read the Word of God. We just have to be faithful to get in that car. That's the participation. That's our participation part. Even if we don't understand it, even if we're slow of heart to believe, even if we're hard-hearted, God knows all these things. Nothing's fooled on him. And in a certain way, this relationship's so great, we can just sit back as he reveals himself and let him take control of the wheel, so to speak. Because he does that. He loves to do that. It's kind of strange. Jesus loves his relationship with us, I'll say, much more than I love my relationship with him. That sounds strange. But he is so in love with his people, and he wants to reveal himself through his word to his people. And he knows, let me put this another way, like he declared to Joshua, he knows it's the only way to walk a successful Christian life. We can't just have experience. We can't just have knowing that he's in our lives and knowing that he resides there by the Holy Spirit. That's important. But we need that word of God. Ray Kent said this last week, and I wrote it down because it just really touched me. And I suggest that every one of you can listen to that message last week that he gave to us. He put it this way. He says, if you want to be real with God, there's no substitute for the word of God to walk the Christian life. I love that. So those are the two things to walk a successful Christian life, a prosperous Christian life. There's the prosperity gospel, if you may. And there it is that God is with us. He's with us always. And that he loves to reveal and open our understanding to the word of God. But he needs a little bit of cooperation from us as people. And the devil will do everything in his power to keep us away from those simple principles of life and liberty in Christ Jesus. So let's just, come and close our time, or however you want to do that, Bill, in prayer.
Lord, I want to praise you this morning that everything can be revealed from your word.
Yes.
Many, you've left this out and you've left that out. Lord, you didn't leave anything out,
Lord,
at all.
Lord.
Thank you that you can speak to every one of your creatures. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Lord, and forever is your word settled in heaven. And Lord, we ask that a little of that settling might come to our lives from your word in the many things that are going on right now in our life and what's around us and all the uncertainties in front of us. Lord, there may not be any uncertainty. It may just be our rest. And so we thank you, Lord, in every way is your word a satisfaction. It is settled. Lord, you have spoken to your people wherever they are, and we want to be those that have our hearts open every day to your give us greater hunger for your word. Mm-hmm. And as our brother said, when we are feeling not hungry, Lord, we want to come to it and ask you to make us hungry. Lord, we need you. We need our eyes opened. It's not something we can do on our own. We need heaven's help. And so we come to you and we thank you for this word. We thank you for what was shared, even from Leviticus and from the New Testament, the many echoes that we see from the word of God. Lord, thank you so much for speaking to us this morning from many directions. We worship you and praise you for thy word, Lord. Forever in heaven is thy word established and settled. We praise you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
through him whom thy word hath foretold, the Savior and morning star, salvation and peace have been brought to those who have strayed so far. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Thank you, Lord, for this message this morning, Lord. Thank you for opening your word to us again. We ask that you will seal this to our heart, Lord, and we just want to again give you the praise and thanksgiving, Lord, for meeting us where we're at, Lord, here this morning. We again commit this time to you with thanks and praise in Jesus' name.